Chapter 18. Your Brain. Treating Strokes. Revolutionary techniques will increasingly prevent, treat, and vanquish the fifth leading cause of death in the U.S., stroke. The human brain has 100 billion neurons, each neuron connected to up to 10,000 other neurons. Sitting on your shoulders is the most complicated object in the known universe. Michio Kaku, professor of theoretical physics in the City College of New York and CUNY Graduate Center. When most people think about someone having a stroke, the image that pops into their head is of someone gray-haired in their 70s or 80s. They don't picture the dynamic young woman, let's call her Susan, who happens to be one of my own assistants and gave us permission to share her story. Susan was just 32 the day she found herself in a meeting, suddenly unable to say certain words. When she tried to take a sip of water, the liquid dribbled out of her mouth and her left eye was rolling inward toward her nose. Susan wasn't working for me then, and her boss at the time was confused. He thought I was joking because I was always joking around at work, she recalls. He said, "Stop it, or I'm going to call 911. Luckily for Susan, he proceeded to do exactly that. In the ambulance, the paramedics were pretty sure she'd suffered a stroke, despite being so young. In fact, rates of stroke among younger adults are on the rise, in part due to increasing stroke risk factors in younger people, such as obesity and/or high blood pressure. Strokes are usually caused when a blood clot blocks a vessel in the brain. They can also be caused by a rupture. The key to boosting the chances of recovering from a stroke caused by a clot is something called tissue plasminogen activator, or TPA. It's the only FDA-approved treatment for strokes caused by clots, and it gets busy dissolving the clot. But small communities and rural hospitals don't always have a stroke team to quickly evaluate a patient and decide to administer the drug. To make matters worse, there's a very small window of time during which TPA can be effectively administered, between 3 to 4.5 hours of a person suffering a stroke. You can imagine that this isn't always possible to achieve, especially because many people experiencing a stroke don't recognize what's happening and don't head to the hospital. Because her boss sprang into action, Susan was fortunate. She got TPA and had a thrombectomy, where a thin catheter was threaded through an artery in her groin all the way to the artery in her brain that was blocked. A tiny mesh tube fanned open to trap the clot, then it was pulled back out of her body. Susan had received a new lease on life thanks to the right hospital, the right experts, and the right mindset. In rehab, if she applied herself and worked harder than she'd ever worked before, her therapist promised her she'd be able to return to her former self. Sure enough, within a few weeks, she was walking down the hall of the rehab facility in high heels. That positive psychology helped Susan recover completely. 4 years later, she is back to her former self. It will come as no surprise that lots of very smart people are focused on stroke prevention and treatment. After all, your brain is your body's command center. It has about 100 billion neurons packed into a wrinkly 3-pound gray sponge, and it controls your ability to talk, feel, see, hear, blink, form memories, put one foot in front of another, and, of course, think. We take all this for granted, but it's truly wondrous, isn't it? Think of it like this. You're essentially lugging around the world's most sophisticated supercomputer inside your own head. So when something goes wrong, the functioning of that sophisticated supercomputer is at stake. Stroke is the fifth leading cause of death in the U.S., killing nearly 150,000 Americans each year. Every 40 seconds, someone somewhere in the U.S. suffers a stroke. More than 50% of stroke survivors age 65 or older suffer impaired mobility. That's heartbreaking for a survivor and equally heartbreaking for their family members, who feel helpless watching a formerly capable person struggle to open a jar of pasta sauce or pop open a can of soda. This chapter is all about bringing hope to what can feel like a hopeless situation. But the hope is real and tangible because there are regenerative medical solutions that are already here and others that are coming down the pike that can make a huge difference, solutions that don't just attack symptoms but actually reverse injury. Of course, prevention is king with stroke and all kinds of degenerative disease. So make sure to exercise regularly, eat plenty of fruits and vegetables, avoid smoking, and maintain a healthy weight to maximize your body's circulation. Throughout this book, you'll also learn about other breakthroughs that will influence how people cope with strokes and reclaim their lives. I've told you more about how you can access the most efficient, most advanced ways to get a full-body workout in Chapter 14, Strength, Fitness, and Performance. But in this chapter, we're laser-focused on groundbreaking technologies that are helping stroke survivors like Susan, and those who are decades older, not just survive, but thrive, now and in the future. I'm going to share with you four incredible developments that are already in play. For example, 1. You're about to meet some ingenious researchers who are using robotic gloves to help stroke survivors regain motion, giving them new hope for recovery. 2. You'll discover how virtual reality headsets, high-tech sensors, and video games that harness hand-eye coordination are now being deployed to improve stroke survivors' dexterity and mobility. 3. You'll also learn how scientists are injecting exosomes released from stem cells into pigs in a remarkably promising quest to lessen the impact of strokes on people's everyday functioning. 4. You'll learn how those scientists at Elevion, whom you met in the last chapter, are using their GDF11 molecule and seeing the miraculous repair and reversal of ischemic stroke symptoms. 5. You'll meet the brilliant Dr. Mary Lou Jepson, whose company, Open Water, is using red laser light and holography to measure the brain blood flow of a patient in the ambulance during that first critical 3 to 4 hour window to determine if TPA therapy is required and to diagnose every stroke. Breakthrough number 1, a treatment that fits like a glove. The chief function of the body is to carry the brain around. Thomas Edison. Have you heard about the gloves that can teach you to play the piano in less time than it takes to do a load of laundry? This isn't some harebrained idea, it actually works. What's more, these magical gloves are also being used for a more noble purpose, to restore function in stroke survivors. I was sitting across from a true genius, Thad Starner, professor at Georgia Tech's School of Interactive Computing, eager to hear about his otherworldly creations. Professor Starner is no stranger to wearable technology. He just may have been the first person to go about his everyday business wearing a computer. You see, he helped to pioneer the field of wearable computing and served as a technical lead in the development of Google Glass, those futuristic augmented reality glasses that generated tons of buzz but were too ahead of their time to catch on with consumers. But I was there to talk to him about a completely different kind of wearable, a truly miraculous discovery that came about after he suggested to one of his graduate students that he make a glove. Picture a fingerless cycling glove or a fingertipless golf glove, and embed it with tiny vibrating motors. The goal? To see if the pattern of vibrations in the glove could teach wearers to play the piano without a lick of practice. That may sound ridiculous, but it turns out that the untapped potential of human beings runs even deeper than you might imagine. The gloves vibrate, tapping the finger associated with each note as they mimic the finger pattern of a piano song. As you wear the gloves, you get on with your day, folding that load of laundry, going for a run, scrolling through emails, while your brain is passively trained in the background. The theory is that the brain starts to memorize the sequence of stimuli, just as you memorize movements when practicing. Thad could see I was still somewhat skeptical. "Tony," he said, "let me show you a video." I could barely believe what I was seeing. A TV weatherman with no musical background was able to play Ode to Joy live on CNN after wearing the gloves. The reporter on set was astonished, as was I. Even Thad was blown away. What does this have to do with stroke recovery? Well, gloves that passively teach you how to play a song equate to a pretty impressive party trick. But Thad told me a story about something these gloves can do that's even more impressive. Thad has a friend named Deborah Backus, who was the Associate Director of Spinal Cord Injury Research at Atlanta's Shepherd Center, which is one of the nation's leading hospitals for rehabilitation. Backus helps people with multiple sclerosis and spinal cord injuries. She wondered if Thad's vibrating gloves might improve her patient's dexterity. Thad recalls, "She came by and said, 'I want your piano stuff for my paralyzed patients.' I thought she was joking. She said, 'You don't understand.' She told me that her intuition was that the brain would recruit more neurons. My jaw dropped to the floor and I said, 'Let's get started.'" Sure enough, these haptic gloves, haptics is a field of technology that involves the sense of touch, worked with these patients too. A PhD student showed that people with partial spinal cord injuries displayed a marked improvement in sensation in their disabled hand, helping them to perform critical everyday tasks such as buttoning a shirt. Thad was thrilled. His mother was a geriatric nurse, and he had tagged along with her to nursing homes as a boy. "When I was 10, he says, "most of my friends were over 80. That background helped him to recognize that haptic gloves, which had started out as little more than an amusing novelty, had untold implications for helping people live better lives. That hunch was further confirmed when another PhD student, Caitlin Syme, used the same haptic technology to fit blind people with gloves. The vibrations were able to teach them to type and read Braille in 4 hours instead of the 4 months that it typically takes. It's a beautiful reminder that we are capable of so much more than many people can even conceive." These unexpected successes raised an intriguing question. What if the same technology could be harnessed to help stroke patients? The stakes could hardly be higher, given that stroke is the leading cause of long-term disability in the U.S. Clenched fists are one of the most debilitating after effects. A stroke can curl a hand into a claw, making it impossible to carry out mundane but essential tasks of daily living, like grasping a fork, wielding a toothbrush, or turning a door handle. People who haven't had a stroke take the flexibility of their hands for granted, blissfully unaware that the brain and spinal cord are effortlessly sending signals back and forth to keep the muscles in equilibrium. But in stroke survivors, the signals that cue the muscles to open the hand are disrupted, while the muscles that close the hand become dominant, which results in the hand clenching into a fist. Breakthrough number 2, haptic technology. Haptic technology provided a crucial breakthrough. The same principles employed in the piano exercise were used to spark improvement in stroke survivors. As the brain is triggered to react to signals, it fires off patterns in neurons and attracts more neurons. That increases sensation, which of course leads to improved dexterity over time. In other words, wearing the gloves seems to make the muscles in the hand wake up. How stroke impacts survivors depends on which part of the brain has died. Stroke, after all, results in oxygen starvation of a piece of brain tissue and brain death. One of the biggest challenges that stroke survivors must overcome is that their body no longer does what they want it to do. What do I mean by that? I mean that joints may flex involuntarily. A hand might grab a cup, but be unable to release it due to increased muscle tightness. Imagine the frustration of not having control of your hands, to grasp something, to touch something, to simply feel where you are. What if there was a way to unclench those fists for good? Well, there is. Up until a few decades ago, scientists were convinced that when brain cells died, they could never be restored. But thanks to decades of research, we know the brain has plasticity. It has the ability to adapt, meaning that patients who have suffered strokes are capable of dramatic recoveries. "The brain can change itself," says Dr. Syme, now a postdoctoral fellow at Stanford University. So there's a lot of potential for recovery. As part of her research, Dr. Syme asked stroke survivors to wear haptic gloves for 3 hours daily over the course of 2 months. Tactile stimulation through passive haptic learning, wearing the computerized gloves pre-programmed to vibrate at specific settings, led to significant improvements in sensation, range of motion, and muscle tone, along with a decrease in muscle tightness. How gratifying is that? Dr. Syme says that one of her most satisfying moments came during a meeting with a stroke patient and his wife. When she asked the woman if she'd noticed any improvement in her husband's hands, the wife lovingly kneaded his age-spotted hands and replied, "I can move his fingers. Before, they were in a grip. It was real hard to even get them straight, to even get the glove on. But now I see a lot more flexibility, and when we're walking, I can actually hold his hand." Ultimately, Dr. Syme hopes that haptic gloves could be approved as a long-term and lasting treatment for stroke patients. To that end, she's teamed up with Starner and another of his former graduate students to create a company called Stimulus Labs, which is working to bring gloves to market by 2023 for the benefit of stroke survivors. Whatever happens, we now know that hands which were once immobilized can be taught to move again by a boldly imaginative technology that until recently wasn't on anybody's radar. What an amazing way to literally reshape someone's life. Breakthrough number 3. Virtual reality made real. I'm sure you've heard plenty about virtual reality, how you can enter a fantasy world that feels so real your heart begins to beat faster. Whether you're falling or flying, it feels so real that it induces the same kind of fear or excitement that you'd experience in real life. Now imagine how cool it would be if we could use VR to retrain the nervous system to function again. That's exactly what's unfolding in a virtual reality world that was conceived in the real-world city of Alameda, California. In this fantasy world, stroke patients are gamifying the decidedly unfun process of rehab with the help of a VR headset, some sensors, and a tablet. This game is actually an FDA-approved therapeutic tool known as the REAL System, developed by an Alameda-based company called Penumbra. Let me tell you about one woman, Deb Shaw of Los Gatos, California, a stroke survivor who has helped develop the REAL System. She tests out the VR exercises and gives feedback to Penumbra under the watchful eye of her occupational therapist, Lisa Calloway. Shaw was 55 when she suffered an initial stroke in 2016. It happened in her sleep. When she awoke and tried to get out of bed, she was confused to find that she couldn't move her arm. Her husband took her to the ER, where a scan showed that she'd had a stroke. Shaw started rehab with traditional therapy, which she hated. She wasn't doing the exercises enough to make progress. Then, her husband heard about the REAL System from one of the original developers, who invited Shaw and her husband to visit their offices and try it out. "It was like night and day," says Shaw. "It immediately took my therapy to the next level." Penumbra's software engineers asked her, "What's one of your favorite things to do?" Shaw replied, "Bird watching." She suggested the engineers create a game in which a little bird would land in her hand, and then she would have to place it back in its nest. VR transformed this tedious rehab reaching exercise that engages her shoulders, hands, and fingers into entertainment. Shaw dons the VR headset, straps on 6 sensors, and disappears into an alternate animated universe called Happy Valley, with its colorful birds, verdant hills, and a smiling sun. "You're transported to another world where anything is possible," she says. "It changes the way patients see therapy." The tablet collects data about every movement Shaw makes during the course of a treatment session, allowing Calloway to see clearly the areas where Shaw is improving and those where she needs additional attention. Shaw is always motivated to beat her previous score, so her progress is much quicker than when she was just running through exercises with Calloway. Shaw is no stranger to stroke therapies. She's tried everything: physical therapy from the waist down, occupational therapy from the waist up, cranial acupuncture, acupressure, a hyperbaric oxygen chamber, and hydrotherapy. Her conclusion? VR amplifies all of those. When we last spoke with the folks at Penumbra, they had started shipping their VR product to market. They anticipate that it will soon be available at many hospitals, inpatient rehab facilities, and outpatient centers, anywhere a therapist might work with a stroke survivor. What a beautiful way for someone to regain skills one little game, one little step at a time. Breakthrough number 4. GDF-11, the power to heal strokes. Consider an inspiring vision of a future in which older brains and hearts could become young again. Does that sound far-fetched? That's exactly what's unfolding at Elevion, the company run by Dr. Mark Allen, MD, whom we met in our last chapter, working with a team of leading-edge scientists that includes stars like Amy Wagers, Richard Lee, and Lee Rubin, all professors of stem cell and regenerative biology at Harvard. As we've learned, Elevion has developed a naturally occurring protein called Growth Differentiation Factor 11, GDF-11, with powerful regenerative properties. Aged mice that received an injection of GDF-11 saw a reduction in age-related cardiac hypertrophy, an enlarged or thickened heart, which is a hallmark of cardiac aging. GDF-11 also boosted brain function, improved skeletal muscle repair, and increased exercise capacity. On its own or in conjunction with other molecules, GDF-11 could prompt the human body to rev up its capacity for regeneration. Ultimately, technologies like this can be expected to help revitalize your body, including your brain and heart. Whereas the gold standard treatment of ischemic strokes needs to be delivered within a narrow 4-hour window, GDF-11 can act up to 1 week later. The scientific data from their preclinical studies looks encouraging for both prevention and recovery, although more research is needed. As I write this, Elevion is moving toward a phase 1 trial with the aim of treating acute ischemic strokes by early 2023. A potential treatment that can work up to a week after the ischemic stroke would drastically change the face of stroke medicine. But Elevion has set their sights even higher. Their next target is hemorrhagic strokes, which are strokes caused by a brain bleed. Because GDF-11 has also been found to play a role in glucose metabolism, insulin sensitivity, and fat reduction, they are hoping to expand to cardiovascular and metabolic diseases such as diabetes and obesity. Who thought a molecule could be so powerful? While efforts are pouring into treatments for acute strokes, let's now turn our attention to another company that is going to drastically change the lives of chronic stroke patients and their families. Breakthrough number 5. Soraya Medical, the gold standard for brain stimulation. There is no effective approved treatment for the chronic brain damage caused by strokes. Even the treatments for acute strokes do nothing to heal the damage to brain tissue, leaving patients permanently disabled. 6 million U.S. stroke survivors have been abandoned to suffer. Their ongoing disease has neither treatment nor cure. But there is now hope for a breakthrough treatment. After a decade of research and development, Soraya Medical recently demonstrated a revolutionary new non-invasive brain stimulation technology, transcranial rotating permanent magnetic stimulation, TRPMS. In a Phase 1, Phase 2A trial, TRPMS restored functional activity to damaged brain tissue up to 16 years after stroke. Consisting of a lightweight wearable cap controlled via a smartphone app, the device enables self-treatment at home by patients with no risk of side effects. Future trials are planned to demonstrate that by healing the brain, TRPMS can help patients regain the use of their limbs or other functions, the holy grail of stroke medicine. Like most medical breakthroughs, TRPMS required someone to recognize its potential early on. That's where Liam Lowen and Soraya Medical came in. Back in 2012, founder and investor Liam Lowen was involved with stuttering research seeking to stimulate songbird brains. The only device available for use at the time was a 300-pound transcranial magnetic stimulation machine meant for human brains, much too large to focus on these smaller bird brains. To solve this problem, the team invented a new miniature magnetic stimulator, consisting of a barely 8-ounce wearable cap with 6 stimulators targeting separately programmed areas. Loewen had long believed that many brain-based neurological disorders resulted from faulty connectivity between brain regions. He realized that this new, smaller, wearable device might offer a never-before-available tool to recalibrate such disturbed connectivity. Combining a portfolio of his own brain stimulation patients with a license to the new invention, Loewen formed Soraya Medical as the first step in building an entirely new brain treatment therapy platform. As its initial target, Soraya Medical chose stroke, the most difficult candidate to treat with any therapy. It would be the first ever treatment of damaged brain tissue, restoring functionality previously thought to have been permanently lost. The researchers hope that by treating stroke patients, TRPMS will quickly become the gold standard for brain stimulation as a service across other brain disorder targets, such as OCD, PTSD, stuttering, and refractory depression. In fact, as I'm writing this, Soraya is already collaborating with research labs around the country to test TRPMS in addiction, stuttering, and multiple sclerosis. The possibilities with this technology are endless. Breakthrough number 6. Eyes wide open. The most beautiful thing we can experience is the mysterious. It is the source of all true art and science. He to whom this emotion is a stranger, who can no longer pause to wonder and stand wrapped in awe, is as good as dead. His eyes are closed. Albert Einstein. About 30 years ago, when he was 7 years old, Dr. John Ross Rizzo noticed that he was having trouble seeing at night. He couldn't navigate between rows in a darkened movie theater. When he played hide-and-seek with his friends in the evening, he stuck close to home base because he couldn't see anything. It was like staring into a black hole at midnight, he recalls. It took another 7 years for him to be diagnosed with something called choroideremia, a rare genetic disorder that results in problems with peripheral vision, night vision, and cataracts. In medical school, Dr. Rizzo learned about the field of disability medicine. Motivated by his personal experience, he decided to specialize in rehabilitation. There was no better place to do it than New York University, where Howard Rusk, considered the father of rehabilitation medicine, had launched the field, and where Dr. Rizzo did his medical residency. Today, Dr. Rizzo is director of the High-Tech Visuomotor Integration Laboratory, which is part of Rusk Rehabilitation at the NYU School of Medicine. Inspired by his own vision problems, Dr. Rizzo is particularly interested in how people use vision to help with motor control, how the eye focuses on an object, and how that eye movement then communicates to the hands to pick up the object. Did you know that the average person makes 11,000 eye movements per hour? It turns out that stroke survivors make many more eye movements. They have to exert more effort to do the same thing. It's exhausting, and the more complex the task, the more draining it becomes. Think about trying to pat your head and rub your belly at the same time. It's that same kind of idea, but amplified with the eye and hand, says Dr. Rizzo. As soon as you have a stroke and try to do eye-hand task coordination, it becomes very difficult. In a study focused on restoring eye-hand coordination, Dr. Rizzo used a system that resembles a computer game to give feedback and correct reaching errors. He used a headset equipped with cameras to track participants' eye movements and an index finger sensor to track hand movements. Then he and his team tested a biofeedback-based technique that aims to focus on both the hand and the eye. You know what they learned when they assessed a group of stroke survivors and an unaffected control group? They discovered that hand and eye movements are not coordinated in stroke patients as they are in unaffected people. We are the only place in the country, maybe the world, that is trying to understand this mechanism, says Dr. Rizzo. There's no playbook on this because no one else is doing it. The focus on stroke patients' eyes is important. Dr. Rizzo believes it could be the key to better understanding the struggles they face when trying to pick up objects, and that understanding could lead to therapeutic applications that can accelerate the pace of recovery. In the works, tablet and game-based technology, and artificial intelligence and VR rehab systems that are building eye tracking into their programs. "We think we're onto something quite strong," says Dr. Rizzo. "It holds a lot of promise, and we're trying to get out the message so others can start to investigate the links between the eye and hand." Breakthrough number 7, the power of exosomes to help stroke recovery. "I am fond of pigs. Dogs look up to us. Cats look down on us. Pigs treat us as equals." Winston Churchill. Remember how lucky my assistant Susan was to be whisked to a hospital where she received the only FDA-approved treatment for those strokes caused by clots, which account for more than 85% of strokes in the U.S.? This drug, called TPA, isn't always available in smaller or rural hospitals. It doesn't repair tissue that's already been damaged, and it has to be administered very quickly because it's effective only within a few hours of a stroke's onset. It works by breaking down the clot and restoring blood flow, like pharmacological Drano for the brain. But what if there were a treatment that could work up to 2 full days after a stroke, a treatment that encouraged full recovery within a matter of weeks? That would be revolutionary, and it's happening in Athens, Georgia. This dream is being turned into reality by MD-PhD student Samantha Spellacy, who has been doing research in a laboratory run by Stephen Stice at the University of Georgia's Regenerative Bioscience Center. Stice's lab studies swine. As it turns out, pig brains and human brains have similarities. In fact, the neuroanatomy of pigs, their gray and white matter, more closely resembles that of humans than of mice, which are more typically the subjects of animal research. But rodents have less than 10% white matter compared to humans and pigs, which each have more than 60%. And rodent brains are also 650 times smaller than a human brain, while a pig brain is just 7.5 times smaller, making it a more helpful model when trying to figure out the right dose for a drug. Altogether, this makes a compelling case for using swine to study stroke. Stice's lab developed an alternative approach to creating therapeutic uses for neuron stem cells. Here we are again, marveling at the magic of stem cell therapy. It involves harnessing the beneficial effects of neural exosomes derived from the bath in which stem cells are grown. Exosomes are nanoscale-sized vesicles that carry the key growth factors involved in cell-to-cell communication, growth factors that are thought to be key to rejuvenation and cell repair. Exosomes are created and shed by all cells, especially stem cells. There are even exosomes in beer and bread due to a yeast cell's sloughing them off. I personally used exosomes along with stem cells to address a variety of challenges I experienced as a result of the work I had done on my shoulder that I told you about in Chapter 2, The Power of Stem Cells. The cool thing about these vesicles is that they contain some nucleic acid or protein component from the cell they were secreted from, says Spellacy. Maybe just by giving exosomes instead of giving the complete stem cell, we can get the benefit of stem cells while avoiding the downsides. Here's another cool thing about exosomes. They can be frozen for months on end. So a hospital can keep batches of exosomes in a freezer and thaw them on demand whenever a patient needs them, whereas stem cells must be individually cultured, which takes time. Here's what Spellacy and her colleagues learned. In an early study, MRI showed that pigs that had received an exosome treatment after suffering a stroke had less impacted brain volume, less swelling, and better preserved white matter than those that hadn't received exosomes. Even more impressive, within 4 weeks of exosome treatment, the exosome group was walking normally, while the untreated group was still experiencing difficulty. Spellacy remarks, "It's pretty striking to see how well the treated animals recovered." Remarkably, the treated pigs also had significantly higher survival rates, and the idea is that this incredible outcome can be translated to humans. If we extrapolate to clinical use, if you're a patient who comes in with a really bad stroke and we give you exosomes, You aren't destined to have a bad outcome or poor survival, says Spellacy. The severity of a stroke can be mediated by the exosomes, which is really exciting to see. This is telling us that there is hope for people who have really bad strokes. Stice has co-founded a company, Aruna Bio, which is moving into the realm of testing exosome therapy in human clinical trials. He's looking to use proprietary neural exosomes to target and repair diseased cells, providing a new way to treat stroke and other neurodegenerative disorders. As you know, there's a desperate need for more effective stroke treatments, considering that the drug TPA has a very short window of time when it can be an effective clot buster. By contrast, exosomes appear to work in experiments that Spellacy has conducted with pigs up to 48 hours after a stroke. Breakthrough number 8. Detecting strokes on the way to the hospital. Best of all, diagnostic technologies are improving all the time, becoming cheaper, more accurate, and compact. One of the heroes of the diagnostic arena is Mary Lou Jepsen, PhD, who is the founder and CEO of a startup called Open Water. They are developing a new approach to medical imaging. Jepsen, a former executive at Facebook and Google, who has been named one of the 100 most influential people in the world by Time magazine, says her goal is to lower the cost of high-quality MRI-like medical imaging 1,000-fold. A quarter century ago, when Jepsen was studying for her PhD in optical physics at Brown, an MRI revealed that she had a brain tumor. "Everybody I knew was mortified," she says. "But I hadn't been feeling myself for some time, and I didn't know why. When I finally got my diagnosis, I was thrilled, because with a diagnosis, you can fix it. You can find a neurosurgeon to do surgery." Years later, she's now running a company that is delivering on her vision of a portable device that delivers MRI-quality imaging that is 1,000 times cheaper, with a machine that is 1,000 times smaller. To do so, she's combining technologies such as solid-state lasers, ultrasound pings, machine learning, and the latest camera chips. Riding on top of the tsunami of exponential change, Jepsen is on the leading edge of dematerializing, demonetizing, and democratizing the field of imaging. "There's no reason that the device itself has to cost more than a cell phone," Jepsen says. And where is Open Water planning to apply this new technology? They are planning to use this technology to examine brain blood flow in an ambulance to detect a stroke on the ride to the hospital. As of mid-2020, Open Water has been in human studies with stroke patients in the neuro ICU, and in early 2022, they will scale up to a multi-center trial. As we discussed earlier, there's a precious 2-hour time window to diagnose a severe stroke before it means having a debilitating handicap the rest of your life. Today, 55% of severe stroke, large vessel blockage, patients die or are severely disabled. During that 2-hour window, if you have a large vessel blockage, getting the clot removed gives you a 90% chance of a good outcome with no deficit. According to Jepsen, Open Water's portable MRI can be used in ambulances to quickly diagnose a stroke so the proper treatment can be given safely. No more waiting hours to get to the hospital and have a brain MRI done. Worried that a portable device won't be as good as the multi-million-dollar hospital equipment? Don't be. According to Jepsen, Open Water's blood flow detection is already 200 times better than ultrasound or MRI. And where does this technology go beyond the ambulance? This is Peter Diamandis' vision for the future as we move healthcare out of the hospital and into the home. Imagine Open Water's technology in combination with artificial intelligence built into your bed or office, passively scanning you on a regular basis in the privacy of your home, says Peter. This would allow you and your AI to find any problem at the earliest moment when it is most easily fixable. If so, then millions of people like you and me will detect problems early, when the probability of fixing them is highest. How many lives could that save? Peter and I are so passionate about this, we've invested in Open Water to help make this available faster. Of course, there are also many ways to prevent stroke that are within your control. Regular exercise to increase circulation, like we discussed in Chapter 14, can reduce your risk significantly. In other words, this entire book contains valuable insights about additional tools that can boost circulation and help prevent stroke. But now you also know that if someone does suffer a stroke, there is a clear and powerful path to recovery. Whether it's learning to open your hands again with the help of haptic gloves, exploring a fantasy virtual reality world where rehab is all fun and games, trying to boost hand-eye coordination, or using exosomes to coax the brain to self-repair, there is new hope emerging when it comes to treatments for stroke. Thanks to all these breakthroughs, this is a great time to be alive. Please take care of yourself, and if you know someone who's had a stroke, they might want to consider these amazing tools and technologies. As always, you can find out more details at lifeforce.com. Now, let's move on to our next chapter about a scary subject that no one likes talking about, cancer. Keep listening, and let's learn how we are winning the war on this dreaded disease. Reimagining how we diagnose and treat the brain. React Neuro is a digital health company reimagining how we diagnose and treat the brain. They've successfully digitized the entire neurological exam. It all started when the head coach of the New England Patriots, Bill Belichick, noticed that the medical exam, neurological assessment, that followed a head injury on the field looked very old school. Basically, the doctor said, "Follow my finger," moving it up and down, left and right. "It looked like the doctor was signing the Holy Cross on the field," said Belichick. React Neuro came out of that observation asking the question, how do we take all of these vital tests and put them into one device that someone can use on the field or in the comfort of their home? The answer turned out to be using virtual reality, VR, technology with built-in sensors to track eye movements, record voice, and capture body movements as a one-stop solution. Today, React's technology takes them less than a minute to run a full brain health diagnostic and figure out someone's attention, memory, and mood. React has developed the most comprehensive brain health platform with 20-plus digital exams. React has a wide range of applications, from tracking healthy aging and performance to monitoring diseases like Alzheimer's. They've even made a dent in the therapeutic space. In addition to assessing brain health, React has created digital experiences that provide therapy for people who've suffered from a concussion or stroke. These digital therapeutics are game-like experiences that are customized to someone's ability in real time. They maximize engagement while gradually increasing the difficulty of the tasks. React's sleek product headset is already being used in senior living homes, the military, and concierge health systems. They are well on their way to achieving their mission to democratize access to the highest quality brain medical care from the comfort of your own home.